Good morning. So good to see everyone with us this morning. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you are a visitor. We want you to know that you are our honored guest, and I hope that you'll stick around for a few moments afterwards that we might to get to know you a little bit better. I do appreciate very much the elders' invitation to fill in for John this morning. I didn't think this day would come after hiring Mitchell that I would have an opportunity to preach again here. I am certainly delighted for the opportunity and honored to do so. Before we begin this morning, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn with us to the passages that we refer to in this lesson, because the things that we talk about are simply too important for you to take my word for it. I think one of the biggest insults that you might be able to do a preacher who cares about the word is to go and have a conversation with somebody and say, well, the preacher said so-and-so. No, I really should not be saying anything unique that you should quote me, but rather you should be quoting what God has already told us. And my job really is to reflect that which God has told us anyway. So we really are only to encourage you to do not one thing more or one thing less what God has authorized us to do. Let's begin by reading two passages. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. It's interesting sometimes that we lose focus. Oftentimes people want to look for the black and whites in Scripture. Well, it doesn't say that thou shalt not or thou shalt and so forth and so on. People want to look for gray areas and be real picky. In this particular topic that we're talking about, repentance this morning, it is very clear. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here this passage is telling us that the reason God is commanding all men everywhere to repent is because our souls depend upon it. He wants all of us to repent because he doesn't want a single human being to be lost. That means he has given to us a plan of salvation by which we can be saved, but there is something upon us that is our responsibility to accept it, and part of that responsibility is repentance. We've probably all heard it said that the greatest problem that man has to face has nothing to do with the government, nothing to do with war. It has to do with the biggest problem facing mankind is that of sin. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to deal with the problem of sin, and we deal with that problem of sin by first repenting of that sin. Somebody might ask, well, what does that mean? Oftentimes we go through lessons and at the end we quote Scripture as giving the five steps of salvation, and we run through repentance very quickly. This morning I want to give a detailed explanation of what is repentance. We're going to look at repentance in the six R's. The six R's of repentance. Number one, we need to understand that repentance includes reflection. Repentance includes reflection. The bottom line, as we see in this lesson, that repentance is a change of mind that will ultimately lead to a drastic change of our life. So the question then is, what's going to cause that change? What is going to motivate us to be going and living our lives and then all of a sudden have a dramatic about face and going the opposite direction in our lives? I believe that what's going to cause that or motivate that is reflection. Reflection should not be. I believe too many times reflection happens only when people hit rock bottom. Folks, we don't have to wait until we hit rock bottom to have this kind of reflection. I think I was advantaged by being the third child of four, because I was able to witness as a bystander the way that my brother and sister behaved and the way that my mom and dad reacted to their behaviors. And I was able to observe and say, you know what, I don't want to make some of those same mistakes. If you're here in the audience this morning, you should not have to wait until you've hit rock bottom. Hopefully you will have enough information to truly reflect upon your life and ask yourself, am I truly living the kind of life that God wants me to live? Let's look at reflection in Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 15, we're going to take a small glimpse, part of the parable of the prodigal son. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, a time of reflection, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The man hits rock bottoms and looks around him, remembering that he once lived a life of privilege. He then threw that all away because he demanded his father, Father, I really can't wait until you die. I want my stuff now. Goes and gets that stuff and then wastes it away with riotous living. And this is where the riotous living brings him. Into a swine pit where he was wishing that he could eat the food that the swines did. And then he reflects and remembers that the servants in my father's house has it pretty good. Maybe there's some changes that I need to make in my life. Reflection. We all need to reflect upon our lives. We all need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I living the life that God wants me to live? Am I living the life that I can? Are there changes that need to be made in my life? And that's exactly what we are required to do. In order to repent, we must make that kind of reflection. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus offers that invitation to all those that are laboring and heavy laden. We could look at that in a very broad way and say, if you're burdened with problems in your life, maybe you need some reflection because Jesus can lighten that burden. But I think in a more specific way, he's talking about the burden of sin that we cannot deal with on our own. We simply are unable, we are incapable of dealing with sin in a way to rid it from ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. If you're laboring, if you're burdened with sin this morning, you need the kind of reflection that we're talking about this morning in order to be able to repent, in order to be able to get rid of the burden that you cannot bear. Point number two. Recognition. In order to repent, we must recognize the sin in our lives. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I one time worked with a gentleman who claims that he has never sinned. Of course, it all depends upon your definition of sin, I guess. And his definition of sin is he's never killed anybody. He's never robbed a bank, and he's never raped a woman. So in the big three, He's never sinned. But it doesn't really matter what we think. It doesn't matter what our definition is. It matters about what God thinks. It matters about what God's definition is. We need to recognize that all of us have sinned. You see, the problem is too many times in our lives, we tend to want to compare ourselves to someone else. If we look out in the world, we can find lots of people that we're doing a lot better than. We can also compare ourselves and find there's a lot of people that are doing better than us in various and sundry ways. But again, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't. My relationship with God has nothing to do with any of you. It has to do with my relationship with God and whether there's sin in my life and whether I have dealt with that problem of sin. We need to recognize the damage that sin causes in our lives. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think in our society today, the word sin has really taken on a new meaning to a lot of people. Sin's not so bad. Sin's just kind of a minor indiscretion. Not according to God. According to God, the ultimate end result of all sin, regardless of whether it's a little white lie or we mass murder thousands of people, the end result of any sin, of all sin, is that of death, spiritual death, being separated from God for all of eternity. That is the wages. We go to work in order to obtain wages. It is the deserved amount of money for the amount of time that we have spent. It's what we are owed based upon what we have done. What we are owed based upon the sin in our lives is spiritual death. All men that commit sin, and that's all men we've already seen, that does not deal with the problem of sin in their lives, will die spiritually for all of eternity. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Every single human being in this audience this morning, every single being, a human being that is living on the planet today, that has ever lived on the planet today, has been on this road. If you're here, you're on this road right now. Notice there's only two directions and two outcomes. There's not a third option. We are either on the path that leads to eternal life, or we're on the path that leads to our eternal destruction. You have to reflect upon your life and look at it honestly to understand which road are you on. Somebody might say, well, I've never really thought about that before. I've not really decided to be on one of those two roads or not. We need to understand that the only way that we're on the straight and narrow road is by making the conscious decision of repenting and confessing and being baptized. We have to consciously get on that straight and narrow road. The broad road that leads to our destruction is the default road. If you've never made that decision, if you've never thought about this decision before, you are already on that road, but you're going in the wrong direction. You're on the road that leads to your destruction. We need to understand that we need to reflect on our lives and understand the responsibility that we have in our sin and understand there's something that we must do. Thirdly, we must have regret of sin. In some ways, I think this is really key. Especially, I think this is really key to a lot of Christians. I know that there's a regret is not just we've talked about already that repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of life. There can be lots of reasons why someone changes
without it being repentance. And a lot of that has to do with the regret or the lack thereof. I can be a bank robber that robs so many banks and so successful at robbing banks that I decide I don't need to rob banks anymore and stop robbing banks. Guess what? I've made a change. I'm no longer robbing banks anymore. But it's not repentance because I don't regret the robbing of the banks that I've done in the past. There is no regret. There's no recognition of the sin in my life. There is no reflection. We have to understand that we must regret the sins that are in our lives. We must regret all of the sins that we've done in our past. We must have an attitude of sorrow about what that has happened and the damage that it has caused in our relationship with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive the damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There is a difference between just regret. We can have regret for lots of reasons. We can have regret that I got caught in something without ever regretting that I did it. We can even have regret that I got caught and have regret that I have to stop and not have regret that you've ever done it. You see, we have to reflect and recognize, but also understand the damage that it's caused between me and my Father in heaven, and regret that we have done that. I think there are times that I've talked to people that are so-called Christians, and they look at certain parts of their past, sinful past, with fond memories. They look at their past as the good old days, even though they should be regretting them. If you look back in a sinful experience, a sinful lifestyle, a sinful without regret, you might not have ever repented. We must have godly sorrow. Look at an example that we have in Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51, after David has recognized, reflected and recognized, and notice the regret that David has. Psalms chapter 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Having mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David did not immediately have this kind of regret. As a matter of fact, it took Nathan coming and telling him the parable of the sheep. And David was ready to have the guy executed because he was so mean about taking the one man's only sheep. And until Nathan says, David, you are the man. Then he finally gets it. But notice, once he gets it, the regret that he has. He knows, he regrets the fact that he has sinned against God. He understands the fact that that sin has made him dirty and needs to be cleansed of it. David is pouring his soul out to God because of his regret. If we don't look at our past lives with this kind of regret, that I know the damage that I've caused my God, maybe we have not truly repented. We've got to reflect upon our lives. We have to recognize what that does to our relationship and regret every single thing that we've ever done.
that cause damage between our relationship with God. But fourthly, we need to have a reversal of thought. A reversal of thought. Remember a moment ago I said that repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of life. The first thing we must do is have a change of mind. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transform is simply a fancy way of saying changed. But be transformed first, notice, by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We cannot change anything about our lives until we have a new thought process. We must look at our lives in the past and realize the damage that we have done. Understanding that prior to becoming a Christian, I was in complete control of my life. And I messed my life up because of sin. I damaged my life. I ruined my life. I soiled my life because of the sin in my life. Therefore, because of my decisions have led me to the point that I am going to die in my sins, I've got to do something different. I've got to make changes in my life. That is repentance, the changing of our minds. Notice Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 through 20, Jesus really says the same basic thing. Do you not understand that that which entereth in the mouth goeth in the belly and cast out into the draught? Jesus is being criticized here by the Pharisees because he did not ceremoniously wash his hands before he ate. And they criticized him for it. And Jesus is giving an answer about this. That it's not really about the things that are going into the body that's defiling us. It's not really food that defiles us. What then, Jesus? Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man. There's an old saying, you can't put lipstick on a pig. You can try to doctor that pig up and put lipstick on it and so forth, but it's not going to change the fact that it's a pig. I think there's too many times people try to go about acting religious, trying to display that they are religious without changing the fact that they are pigs, are sinful. Jesus says it starts in the heart. The reason a person is a murderer is because of what was in his heart. The reason someone is a thief is because what was in his heart. We don't wake up one day with a gun pointed at a bank teller saying, "Stick up our, give me all your money," and think about, how did I get here? We got there because we planned it. We got there because of our hearts. The only way that we're going to repent, to be able to have our sins taken away, is to change our thinking. We must change our thinking to think like God wants us to think. To examine the Word of God and to say, God, I've messed my life up and now I'm going to do whatever it is that you want me to do, regardless of what it is, I will make whatever change is necessary. We can have that thought process, that change of mind, without a single action yet. Repentance is a change of mind. It is that regret. It is that recognition of sin that happens because of reflection. And it's the decision that I have to be different. I have to be different because God loves me and does not want me to be saved. That brings us to point number five.
the reversal of life. Now that we have made a decision that I've got to be different because I've messed my life up, we now must back it up with our actions. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. We just looked at this a moment ago, but look now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As a faithful Christian, someone that has repented, we must from here on out then present our bodies as a living sacrifice, sacrificing what I used to want to do for now what God wants me to do. But continue on, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not good enough just to say, oops, I've made a mistake. Oops, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oops, I really messed my life up. I think there are times that people come to that kind of point in their lives and say, boy, I've really messed up. And then they keep doing the same old thing. Once we make the decision that I have really messed my life up, we must make the decision that we're not going to do it again, and we must live a life that proves what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We must then dedicate ourselves to living the life that God wants us to live. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Well, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. It's not good enough to say, I'm sorry. It's not good enough just to say, I've made a mistake. We must then start demonstrating, providing, demonstrating fruits that we have indeed changed. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 through 20. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 through 20. To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not obedient unto the heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. I love the way Paul describes it here. He repents and then turns to God. That is a physical change. He's made a mental change, and now he's need to make an about face in the way that he lived. He was going down this path, the road that leads to destruction, the broad and easy road, but then he made an about face and turned towards God. And then started living and doing the works that demonstrate that repentance. It should be obvious to the world that we are different than the world. Not because, well, I have a feeling in my heart, but because we are demonstrating that we are different than the world and different from who we used to be. Because we've made the decision to live a life serving God. But that brings us to our last point, number 6. Resolved not to turn back. This is a lifetime commitment. Not just a lifetime commitment, but also a daily commitment. It must be a daily commitment that every single day that we wake up, we must make the decision, I'm going to be faithful today. Yes, I might have been faithful yesterday, but yesterday we can have a complete different life from here on out. We must make that decision every day. Be resolved that every day we're going to repent. That we're going to search for what God wants in our lives. And be willing to make the adjustments that God wants us to make in order to be faithful to Him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, the sin, cleanses us from all sin. We are washed from all sin when and only when we walk in the light as Christians. If we decide to step out of the light, if we decide to exit that, if we decide to go back to our own old life of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ does not continue to cleanse us. Therefore, we have to make that conscious decision to continue therein. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That must be our new life. Living godly must be our new and only lifestyle. This morning we ask you, what path are you on? Have you consciously made the decision to be on that straight and narrow path? Are you making the right decisions each and every day to stay on that straight and narrow path? Because we're consciously understanding the nature of repentance, that we always have to make those adjustments. Maybe here in the audience this morning and you're on that wrong path. You're on the path that leads to destruction. Maybe it's because you've never thought about it. You can make that change this morning by reflecting on those things, making the resolve that you're going to make those changes, doing the things, the reflecting, and doing the things that's necessary to make the changes in your life. You can do that this very day by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, by making that good confession, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 33, by being baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Romans chapter 6, then we must live faithfully until death. Maybe here in the audience this morning, and you're already a New Testament Christian, but for some reason, you've gotten off that straight and narrow path, and as you reflect, you find yourself going the wrong direction on that broad way. I think one of the most beautiful aspects of the gospel is, as long as there is a breath within us, it's not too late. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our faults, God is just and faithful to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. If you have any need, if you have any desire to repent this day, won't you please come as we stand and sing?